मैत्रेय उवाच श्रुत्वा भागवतं भक्त्रम् अमोदत दिधिर्भृशम् मुद्रयोत्सवधं कृष्णा विदित्वासिन् महामनाः Maitreya Uvacha. The great sage Maitreya said, Shrutva, by hearing, Bhagavatam, to be a great devotee of the Lord, Pautram, grandson, Amodata, took pleasure, Diti, Vrisham, very greatly. Putrayo, of two sons. Cha, also. Vadham, the killing. Krishna, by Krishna. Viditva, knowing this. Asi, became. Mahamana, highly pleased in mind. Translation. The sage Maitreya said, hearing that her grandson would be a great devotee and that her sons would be killed by Krishna, Diti was highly pleased in mind. Purport. Diti was very aggrieved to learn that because of her untimely pregnancy, her sons would be demons and would fight with the Lord. But when she heard that her grandson would be a great devotee, and that her two sons would be killed by the Lord, she was very satisfied. As the wife of a great sage and daughter of a great Prajapati, Daksha, she knew that being killed by the personality of Godhead is a great fortune. Since the Lord is absolute, his acts of violence and nonviolence are both on the absolute platform. There is no difference in such acts of the Lord. Mundane violence and nonviolence have nothing to do with the Lord's acts. A demon killed by him obtains the same result as one who obtains liberation after many, many births of penance and austerity. The word Vrisham is significant herein, because it indicates that Diti was pleased beyond her expectation. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the third canto, 14th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Pregnancy of Diti in the Evening. So here we see then nice conclusion to the chapter, that difficulties were there, anxieties were there, but things at the end have worked out nicely. Let me see why it's worked out nicely, because it's in connection with Krishna. Right? The sons, it's connected to Krishna because even though they're demons, they will be killed by him, and the grandson will be a great devotee. So this is perfection, is seeing things in connection with the Lord. Here we're dealing with some very interesting points here. We're looking at it, okay, Diti, you know, materialistic and this and that, but notice her faith in the Supreme Lord. So what does that indicate? Right? She's a devotee. So this means this incident, we're talking about what could happen to devotees. Right? Not that, okay, here they're non-devotees, they're just mundane Prajapatis, they get demons and sons. No, we're talking about devotees. She is the grandson of Brahma. I mean, granddaughter. Right? So this is very relevant to us. This is not just something in this book here. This is what goes on in our lives. Right? That's why Bhagavatam is given. It's very direct, very useful, very practical. So here then, so that's one aspect. Another aspect is that the perspective that its connection, proper connection to the Lord, makes it successful. That is the view of a devotee. There isn't another view. Right? It's not that we have options. There are no options. There's one option. No one would say, there's unlimited options divided into two categories. One with one option is connected to Krishna, and unlimited options that are not connected with Krishna. And if it's connected to Krishna, it has value to a devotee. It's not connected to Krishna, it doesn't really have any value. If it has value, it means that aspect of our life is not connected to Krishna. Not so good, not so strong, not so favorable. But, in any case, we'd be connected easily enough. But the point is to be able to recognize this, to appreciate this, that this is the standards. Right? Also, we see, how is it that this good fortune came? Right? We could say, so sinful. Right? Approaching the husband at an inauspicious time, demanding to have children, pushing the point beyond what is necessary, using your feminine skills and tricks to get it. You could say this is not very good, right? What would be our natural thing to say for this lady? Right? How many years would we tell her to leave the community? Think about it. Right? But because of her feeling bad and all that, and that's at that moment. Right? That's not 10 years later that you have to be flailing yourself with a cat and nine tails or chains, walking down the road going, oh, I'm so disgusting. We're not Christians. She understood it. They're Brahmins. Brahmins understand. They know the Shastra. They get bewildered. That's why they're in the material world. Brahmins in the mode of goodness. But goodness is polluted by passion and ignorance here. Till we get the pure goodness, then there may be contamination. She's contaminated. But he's contaminated. Problems happen. But immediately it's understood what's there. The husband knows. He's the one that just did the nonsense, and now he's telling what went wrong and what are all the different things and all that. Right? Because what are we dealing with here? We're dealing with Krishna's standards. That's what's important. Why is it bad? Because it's Krishna's standard. It's not bad because it was sex. It's bad because it wasn't connected to Krishna. It's bad because it didn't follow Krishna's rules. That's what's bad. Not that, oh, it's sex, so therefore it's bad. No, it was improperly connected. Just like it's not bad eating, it's not connected to Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? It's that it's not connected to Krishna that makes something not good. All these other standards are for your conditioned nature. Right? And because we identify with that, therefore they're brought out as mediums or places to start from. Right? I want to start something, I have to start somewhere. Right? So where do we start from? We start with things that are very, very important to the conditioned soul. That's where we start. Then with that, then we show what is the perspective, we connect that to Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the method. So therefore, he's saying that this is wrong. He's talking before it's wrong, it's the wrong time of day, this and that, and then he gives afterwards the proper that definition of it. Now she's willing to hear, and he's willing to speak. So then, having done that, then it works very nicely. She understood, she's feeling bad about it. This is the Brahminical standard. It's through knowledge. Not, oh, this is bad, this is nonsense. Oh, why is it bad? Why? Oh, everybody knows. Who is this everybody? Who's her standard come from? Explain it. No explanation. There'll never be. Other than, we want to set an example. As if any example has ever done anything in this society. Okay? You name me the time Prabhupada used while setting an example here. Right? Does that make sense? So therefore, where did this come from? Whose fertile brain made this up? Who created this false religion that doesn't exist? Where have these false standards come from that we're judging our day-to-day life by? They don't come from Krishna, they definitely didn't come from Prabhupada. They're not coming from the previous acharyas, Rupa Goswami has talked about it. So where did they come from? Think about it, we made them up. standard is it connected to Krishna? Is it not connected to Krishna? That's the standard. No other standard. Right? Any other standard is judged in relationship to this. Because the rules and regulations come from Krishna. So we follow them because it pleases Krishna. Right? Think about it. Why do we do things as devotees? Because it pleases Krishna. That's the first standard. Right? That's the best. Krishna likes it. That's why we do it. Then we can give all kinds of technical explanations of it, but the reason we're convinced is because it pleases Krishna. Next down is that if you follow this, then you'll be free from, you know, material entanglement. Oh, okay, therefore I should follow. Okay, next step down. By following this, then I'll get good results. I won't have difficulties in my material, you know, in my endeavors, in material life, in my conditioned life. That doesn't work. Well, at least you're doing it then, you know, somebody can get some benefit, it's good, it's nice, it's for the people, it's for that, it's, you know, it sets a nice example, it's just, you know, these kind of things, right? That doesn't work. Then you do this, you'll get benefit right now. That doesn't work. Then you'll go to hell. You understand? That's how that is all the goals that are given in the Shastra, right? You have Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, you have Bhakti, and you have going to hell. Right? Not going to hell is a goal, unless you got a really great bucket to go in. But other than that, then that's not a goal. But, it's one of the inspirations. You don't want to go to hell. You know, you'd rather have one of the other five. Does that make sense? So there's only six. So this idea that it pleases Krishna, Krishna likes it this way, that's why he does things this way. He does it this way because he likes it that way. Right? He sits down, when he takes prasad, he sits down in lines with his devotees. Why? Because that's what he likes. If he didn't like that, you don't think he wouldn't be able to arrange something he liked? Right? Mother, because he's a kid, Mother Jashoda forced this on him. He'd rather actually be eating in his room on his bed watching a movie, you know? I mean, it's like, you know what I'm saying? Why is he good? Because this is what he prefers. He gets up in the morning, he takes a bath. Why? He likes it. Right? He does these things because he likes. And because they're so nice, he wants to share those with others. So, because we won't know what he likes or doesn't like, because God's not so easy to just go out in the backyard and, you know, ask him. Therefore, he comes as the Shastra to explain what he likes. And then following that, then we please him. Right? But it's only really pleasing to him if you understand it's his rules and you're doing it to please him. Otherwise, smartness follow the rules, so at best they're called pious. They're not called devotees. Right? Because they follow the rules nicely. God gave the rules. That's what makes them pious. They follow the rules. But are they doing it to please Krishna? No. Therefore, they're called smartness. The devotee follows the rules to please Krishna. Therefore, he better not be called the smart guy. Right? Does that make sense? So here then we see is that this very unique standard that might be seen as, you know, fanatic. Like, think about it. Somebody's done something wrong in the community. They're going to get a bad result. They figure out this is not good. They feel bad about it. So therefore, at that moment, they're purified. It doesn't take 10 years. It doesn't take 5 years. It doesn't take 2 years. It's a moment. How long does it take for you to go back to Godhead? You're supposed to think of Krishna. How long is that? Right? How long did Maharaj Katbanga take? Okay. So therefore, we're taking the devotional process as powerful. How long does it take? If you're going to use a mundane process, fine. Use a mechanical process, but don't make one up, because a made-up process does not work. God's material processes work because He made them. He made the world. Right? You make up your own process, how will it work? You understand? Therefore, after X amount of years, if someone's supposed to be purified, the community doesn't feel that they're purified. Why? Is it their fault? No, it's the fault of the fools who made the process of retribution that didn't work. Does that make sense? I tell you, you cook this preparation, I give you the menu. I mean, the recipe. It doesn't work. Right? Because the recipe is faulty. It comes out terrible. Whose fault is it now? The person who you forced to cook it, or the person who gave the recipe? Think about it. This is the reality. God gives the process of purification. Not us. If you claim it, then you have to claim that you're God. Because religion comes from God, no one else. And anyone who makes one up or disregards his is saying we're being practiced. That is a religion. Materialism is a religion. Science is a religion. Pragmatism is a religion. It has its nature. It has its path. It has its rules. It is a religion. But not coming from God. Right? How would you, what would you give as purification? Right, if you found out someone in the community here was eating meat, what would you say would be their purification? Right, you found out somebody's cooking meat in their house here and they're eating it. What would you say is their purification? Probably you'd be thinking of something quite harsh. Now, imagine that someone who's been eating cows for 20 years before they bumped into, you know, Bhakta Joe. What should be the prayaschitta for that? And what was it? You walked in the door of the temple, and what did they tell you to do? Chant Hare Krishna. Right? Did they bother with something else? Flailing yourself? Rolling on the ground? Writing unlimited apology letters? Right? What did they have you do? Think about it. Right? Very few people in this room can claim to be clean. And in fact, the ones making the rules, basically hardly any of them can claim to be clean. You know, and I'm taking one thing. What about the intoxication? What about the illicit sexual activities? And I'm sure there's an occasional gambler here and there. What about all that? Just no one thought about it. Right? And then if you're blue, go outside, you go for a year or two, do every nonsense you can think of, and then when you come back, what do they tell you to do? Get out your cat of nine, right? Put on your, you know, how do you call it, goat skin inside out, stand out in the snow barefoot. What did they tell you to do? Oh, glad you're back. Right? And what is it? Yeah, it was bad. You know, I was like that. You know, Maya is so powerful like that. I was so stupid. That's it. No one asked again. At least this was in the days when people were honest. Yes, this is what happened. Nowadays, they want to know exactly. You know, how the hell did you do it? Did you use a silver one, or did you just use a straw off, you know, from your McDonald's, you know, things this morning? Yeah. So, the idea is here we have someone who both is rectified, and from that, she's getting a child. In this same night, she's getting demons as son and a Mahajan as a grandson. One night. Right? She is taking this seriously, and she both gets the result of her improper activity, but she gets the result of her proper activity. So both are coming in one night. Right? And you can't say as, well, it wasn't such a bad thing, that's why she got the pure devotee. There was no bigger demon in the history than Hiranyakashipu. There wasn't one. Ravana was small time compared to him. Right? Ravana, it was pointed out to him, he went down to Bali Maharaj to get some support for his war. Bali Maharaj, you know, after seeing him and seeing how, you know, determined and sincere he was to oppose the Lord, said, hey, you know, you can have that, you know, pile of jewels over there, mountain of jewels. So then Ravana went over and was looking at it. It was such impressive jewelry. I mean, it was fabulous jewels. Then he found out that, and he couldn't even pick it up. It was one big, huge mountain, all in one ornament. Then he was informed by Bali Maharaj, this was the earring of Hiranyakashipu, and you can't even lift it up. You can pick up Kailash, but you can't pick this up. And the person that wore that was killed by Vishnu. And this same Vishnu is standing there with an army of monkeys asking for his wife back. So, let's do a little math here, right? You know, 2 + 2 = 573, right? You know, like that. So, that's what he ended up with. So, he's pointing out here that he's the biggest. Right? He's the biggest. And so in the same instant that she got the worst result, at the same time got the best. You don't get this. 10 Mahajans. Prahlad Maharaj is one of them. Right? So this is what we're supposed to gain in Vaishnava culture, etiquette. What is there? What is the mentality? We have standards. They mean it. But if you adjust, it's there. This idea of eternal damnation, it doesn't exist. It does not exist. It's meant for faithless people. Right? Was it there before when devotees were very strong in their faith? No. As their faith reduces, their, security, all that reduces, then now it's very popular. You understand? It's just the modes of nature. That's just the way it is. So, ideas that were being here is that she had standards that were connected to Krishna. That's what made it nice. That's what made it special. Therefore, she's just as happy that her sons are being killed by the Lord as her grandson's a great devotee. So, seeing things connected to the Lord makes everything work nice. It's not connected to the Lord, it will not work nice. It just doesn't. Right? How long we've been, I've mentioned before, we've been trying this political correctness for how long? Right? It came out in the front, it came out of the closet fully. They could say, what, 95, 96? You know, it was the new speaker of the day. Right? Wasn't that the book? 1994? You know, new speaker. Huh? Yeah, no, I was just... Okay, so then, has the opulence come up? Has the trust, has the community grown? Has it become strong? When was the most money, most strength, most dynasism? Not dinosaurism, but dynasism. Your late 70s, early 80s. People who are committed to the process. Maybe blindly, maybe not. But it worked. But as soon as that process was thrown out, then you see, from then, from 86, it all started to go downhill. We can blame other people. There's no one else to blame. Otherwise, we wouldn't call the process self-realization. We'd call it realizing where everyone else is at. You know, the International Society for figuring out where everybody else is at. Right? No, it's where we're at. You want to go back to Godhead, it's where you're at, not where everyone else is at. Right? Prahlad Maharaj, would he not have an excuse why not to be Krishna conscious? Right? His father is an authority, lord of the universe, right? Great-grandson of Lord Brahma. And look at how he's treating him. And he's following the Vedic culture also to boot. Right? You know, he tries to freeze him, he tries to poke him with, you know, tridents, you know, tries to have him burnt, poisoned, you know, all you throw him off a mountain. Now those obstacles are those obstacles. Right? But is he now going, well, the reason I can't think of Krishna is because, you know, my old man, he keeps doing all this stuff to me, you know. If he just leave me alone, I can sit down and be very peaceful and, you know, get down to my natural organic diet, you know, and then I could really, you know, move forward in my Krishna consciousness. Right? But is he saying that? No. Despite that, right? Bhishma, right? Laying there on a bed of arrows. Right? It's not even just we put some arrows down and lay down on it, you know, so it's a little lumpy. Right? They're poked through him. Right? And still he's Krishna conscious. So the point is if you want, there are no restrictions. So it's not someone else. The reason that you're Krishna conscious not going down is nothing to do with anyone else. It starts with you. Right? That's where it starts. You become God conscious, everything else goes nice. Right? Sukadeva Goswami sees the world as nice. Why? Because he's nice. Right? Yudhishthira sees everyone else as having some good quality, because he has all good qualities. Duryodhana doesn't see anybody with good qualities. Why? He has no good qualities. You can only see what you have. You only see bad qualities. That's what you got. You see good qualities, that's what you have. Does that make sense? So that's the process. You start with yourself. You adjust your values so that they're connected to Krishna. You don't have to change your values. You have to change whether they're connected to Krishna or not. It's not worried. If you're worried about your house, that's not the problem. Or your money, or your family, or your position. It doesn't matter. Connected to Krishna. Yudhishthira is worried about his position, being emperor of the world. But he connects to Krishna. Right? Then what's the problem? There isn't any. So that's the point, because anything connected to Krishna is good. Whether it's on the material platform, good or not, that's totally another topic. What's important is it connected to Krishna? That is the standard, the bottom line. There's not something more fundamental than that. There's something not more practical than that. The detail is how you're connecting it to Krishna, what's the right one to connect to Krishna, what is the method you're connecting it to Krishna. That's a very elaborate, you know, contemplation, practice, endeavor. But that it should be connected to Krishna, that's as fundamental as it gets. Right? You know? What is important to Mother Yashoda? Krishna. Why does she cook? For Krishna. Why does she have a house? For Krishna. Why does she arrange nice clothes and ornaments? For Krishna. What does she think about all day? Krishna. Why do we say, therefore, she's perfect? Because she's always absorbed in Krishna. Right? And here's a lady attached to her son. Not a problem. Of course, her son is Krishna, so it makes a lot easier. But hey, the principles we're looking at. The gopis say everything about them is connected to Krishna. They look beautiful. They try to look beautiful. They got attitude about their beauty. But is there a problem? No, because it's all for Krishna. Right? So that's the whole point. Is if it's connected to Krishna, it becomes useful. If it's not connected to Krishna, not useful. That's simple. That's the standard. You have another standard. Know that you're standing on shaky ground. And as long as you have a bunch of other people who agree with you, you're strong. But the point is you're still wrong. right? Might does not make right. God consciousness makes right. And then if you're also powerful, then hey, that's a bonus. But unless it's connected to Krishna, then it doesn't have any value at all. No matter how important you think it is, it's absolutely useless. Right? So here Dhriti then proved why this story is in the Bhagavatam. Because at the end of the chapter, this is the last verse of the chapter, she is pleased in her mind that now this whole pregnancy and children and grandchildren, and it was, which is so important to her, is now all connected to Krishna. So that's why this chapter is here. This is such a very, very good example. Yes, sir. Acharya is saying that, telling Lord Chaitanya it only takes his mercy away from those who are proud of their knowledge. So how do we apply that to ourselves? So you have knowledge, basically knowledge has two levels, jnana and then vijnana. Knowledge on the jnana and jnana standard, then it's skill. Skill. Skill meaning what you can use to accomplish something. But vijnana then are standards in your life. They actually are the value system on which you base. So having knowledge is not enough. That's why pragmatism is not enough. Because pragmatism will get you in a very efficiently get you an observable result, but it doesn't get you realization. Pragmatism combined with intelligence or knowledge, that gets you realization. So knowledge on its own, that's useless. So those who have knowledge and are proud of it, like that, they're not getting anything done, plus they're proud, it's not a very good position. Those who are practical, just have only the knowledge of skill and don't know that there's knowledge beyond that, and are therefore proud of their skill, knowledge of skill, that's also not very good. At least they get something done. So if you could convince them that they should use theory along with their practice, then it would be dynamic like that. Because at least they're active. While the other person is inactive, that's more difficult. It's easier to get an active person directed in the right direction than to take an inactive person and make them active. Right? Something that's already moving, you can direct it, right? The car is moving, you turn the wheel, it goes another direction. The car is sitting there, how do you get it to go anywhere? It doesn't go. So it's actually better. That's why technically, of the karmis and jnanis, the karmis are in a better position. Because at least they're active, they're motivated. Right? In rasa, while the impersonals are not. Though the impersonals have the knowledge to get out of the material world, so if you can combine the two, then through the impersonal, the jnani's knowledge and the karmi's action, you would free yourself from material existence. Right? So that's your Buddha Yoga. So that's, yeah. So that's there now. So one should always be aware that pride is not something that Krishna likes. It's not just pride in knowledge, it's pride in anything. Like we were saying before, the youthful beauty, the arrogant youthful beauty of the gopis, it's what's attractive. Why are the young punks and punkinis attractive? It's because of their attitude. Right? They're confident. They think they look good. They know they look good. They, you know, what's it? If you got it, flaunt it, right? It's attractive. Because of that. But it's generically an attitude. But Krishna, in personal dealings, there is no attitude. You understand? If you're young, it's attitude. If you're older, it's called dignity. Right? And if you're insecure, then they call those two pride. Right? They don't understand. Pride is one thing. Dignity and attitude are different. They have that element, but they're dynamic. You know, they're moving, while insecurity is not dynamic. Therefore, insecure people feel people that are dignified or have some attitude are a problem. But then, that's not the problem. Directing it, that you have to do. But at least you have something to work with. But the person is complaining, there's nothing to work with. Right? Does that make sense? So, when they think they are the best or most fortunate of all girls in the universe, which they are, but they're proud of that, then Krishna leaves them on the spot, in the moment. Right? And only comes back when their attitude changes. Right? So pride, Krishna, because Krishna is everything, does everything, he's not proud of it. He uses attitude in his relationships, but he's not proud of it. You know, what he can do. Therefore, if you want to move with God, you also have to not be proud. Is that okay? Yeah, Veda culture is to give respect, yeah. That's the Amani Amana thing. Yes.
This problem, I don't know what you want to call it, maybe perfect problem, wrong solution, whatever. How far can we say that it correlates to, say, those who have the responsibility of making rules and setting standards? What degree can we say that it correlates to their either collective or individual degree of vigyan or realization? Because obviously that will be determinant of so many things.
Yeah. Okay, so the idea is that, okay, so how do you correlate someone's establishing of the rules, you know, leadership establishing rules with their degree of knowledge and realization? The principle is that everybody is trying their best to please Krishna. So the problem is not really that devotees in leading positions or even not, that they make up their own rules. That's not really the problem. We point it out because it's obvious, it's observable. So it's something we can use as an example. But that's not the problem, because it's not the problem because they're trying to actually do something for Krishna. They're trying to run the society, make it move forward, do something. But due to lack of knowledge or realization, the methods they're using may be counterproductive. But the attempt is sincere. The problem comes up when it's pointed out that there's a way to improve this. Then they're convinced, no, I'm right. That's where the problem starts. Because up to that point, everybody can make a mistake, because according to their experience and in the field of activities, they act. So everyone will act, just like Diti, she's acting. She's a girl, she's got how many sisters? They're all married, she's married, they've all got kids. She doesn't have kids, she wants kids. So she's just using the same feminine tactic she's used and taught with all her sisters in the feminine world since she was a little girl. But now if she, you know, had an attitude like, what's the problem? You know, I got my kids, you know, what's your big deal, you know? Then it wouldn't be here in the Bhagavatam. But because on hearing that and understanding that her method she used was wrong, and she will get her bad result, then understanding this, then she immediately moved forward. Therefore, it's in the Bhagavatam. So the problem isn't that the leadership is trying their best. The problem is if some better way is found, why it won't be addressed. Right? That's where the problem starts. Especially if then because at that point, then it can take up, you know, the anti-shastra, anti these kind of nuances, which then become very, very dangerous. Like that.
Of course, in that connection, Sasri Maharaj has quoted Prabhupada in the first biography, where Prabhupada said that negligence and naivety
are no excuse.
It's not innocent. It's a spiritual defect.
It's a spiritual defect, but the... So it's there that they, or meaning here, so now we can take it a step further. I was, you know, putting it, presenting it nicely. Is that it's still, they get no credit for it. Right? But they've tried in the wrong way, that's against Guru Sadhu and Shastra, then there's no credit for it. But now still we have the point on when that's understood, what do they do with it? Because Krishna consciousness is dynamic because it deals with the present moment. You're not willing to deal with the present moment, you're not dynamic in Krishna consciousness. Oh, I don't want to talk about that, or, you know, we don't worry about that, or what, you know, just somehow they gloss it over. That's...
So at that point, that it's pointed out, or a higher intelligence presents itself, whichever way you want to put it, if the wrong solution persists,
yes, it becomes a liability of the person who's there. Because a wrong judgment falls on the person who's made it. It's said that if a king judging someone pronounces an actual thief a thief, 100% of the reaction falls on the thief. But if he pronounces him not a thief, then one quarter falls on him, one quarter falls on the judges, one quarter falls on the thief himself, because he didn't do the stealing. But he's pronounced not guilty, so he is purified by the pronouncement of the king. He's purified, but not the king. Right? So, like this, everybody else becomes implicated. Like that. So it's a very, very... justice, though now it's used as a common term, it's very, very difficult to hold. Punishment is a person who Krishna created to go with the kingly order. Just like when cows are created, then the Vaishyas were generated to take care of them, or the populace was created, then kings were created for them. So for the kings to work, then punishment. He's black color, very dark red eyes, and he stalks about at night, very, very fearful, very, very powerful. You use him correctly, everybody's satisfied. You use him incorrectly, he will destroy you, your family, and your project. And it doesn't matter that you call it, I'm doing it for Krishna. He's not someone you can play with just because of political correctness. Political correctness is semantics of words. You have one word that has five or six synonyms. So instead of using this synonym, I use that one, and now problem's gone away. You know, that's like, oh, instead of sticking my head in this hole in the sand, that's not politically correct, I stick it in that hole in the sand. It sounds great, but it has nothing to do with administration, leadership, justice, nothing. It's just bogus. Just upfront bogus. So one has to be very, very careful in this, is that what we're dealing with, we always talk about getting real, but we have to remember who's created the reality. It's Krishna. We can think what we like, but the modes of nature are still going to act the way Krishna made them act, whether we believe it or not. So that's why we have all these things. The point is if they're sincere, they're trying, that's considered. It's not done well, they should try to correct that. They won't correct it, refuse to correct it, now we point a finger. Like Diti. In the beginning, she's wrong, but we see how she responded. Then immediately, now it ends with this, with her. Hearing that her grandsons would be a great devotee and that her sons would be killed by Krishna, Diti was highly pleased in mind. The chapter finishes that way. So it comes back to her. So in other words, how she is working under authority, with authority, how she accepts the Lord, how she connects everything to the Lord, Like that. That is then what is being seen here. Just like, how do we end Pingala, right? That's another one. Pingala is a prostitute. She's out on the street trying to catch somebody. Nobody's coming forward, right? And then she starts to think about it in connection with Krishna. And then at the end, she's just fully absorbed in Krishna. And she just, and the last verse, she falls off to sleep completely satisfied. Do we see a pattern here? So the pattern is, are you satisfied in Krishna consciousness? Right? Or the other one, Prabhupada, you know, suddenly to the, I don't know, it wouldn't be shock, but something more mild than shock, but the startlement of a devotee. Prabhupada suddenly looked at him and said, are you convinced? Right? So that's the thing, is, are you satisfied? Because we know we can't be satisfied in the material world, but we're having examples of people in all kinds of situations being satisfied. Diti here is one of them. Pingala is another. This chapter ends with the satisfaction. And the satisfaction is connection to Krishna. So that's the point. We'll continue after because we're over time. We'll stop now for 5 minutes, and afterwards, if anyone has any further questions, we'll continue. But otherwise, the class will officially end. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srimad Prabhupada ki, Sahaneta Bhaktivedanta ki, Sahaneta Bhaktivedanta ki, Sahaneta Bhaktivedanta ki.